Humana, 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 humana.
This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 75. We're going to talk about SharePoint Futures, Azure, and the latest in Amazon. Recorded live April 17th, 2017.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Hey, AC, how you going, mate?
Awesome. The new Star Wars trailer came out yesterday, and I think I've watched it about 61 times.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's all I'm going to be doing tonight. I'm going to be sitting on the couch watching the trailer and over and over. I watched it once this morning, and hey, just between friends, I had shed a little tear when it was Chewie.
I won't tell anybody.
It was a little sad. My wife actually mocked me about it.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yep, she was merciless. She was like, seriously? It's Star Wars. And I was like, it's not just Star Wars.
This is a cult.
Oh, yeah. And it looks good.
Oh, it looks really good.
Let's get our hopes like totally wound right up here, because chances are it's not going to meet our hopes, but I really hope it does.
I saw that your wife was talking about that, about the tier on Facebook. I think that I've had more Facebook updates to my newsfeed in the last 24 hours than, you know, when it's your birthday or something, because it's just the amount of talk going back and forth, and then seeing like all the, as I saw Andrew Siciliano, who's the guy from the DJ for DirecTV's NFL Sunday Ticket Red Zone. One of the best tweets about the whole thing. He just says, good to see Harrison Ford flying again. And then the one where the guy, some guy on YouTube put up a video, and he took a mix of Matthew McConaughey from Interstellar watching the preview of it.
Yeah. Listen to you giggling. Look at you go.
Why would they even, I wonder why they even put a trailer out. I mean, I love it, but why even need to put a trailer out? The first one they put out about the lightsaber with the little hilt and everything, the three hilt.
Yeah.
We were all going to go see it.
It's true.
So
I don't know, slowly build excitement towards the end of the year, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm totally pumped about it. Like, as you know, I hate to get my hopes up too high, but screw that. They're already too high. Anything you want to cover off before we get stuck into the news?
Yeah. So next week, I'm going to be at the SharePoint Evolutions Conference. So actually the week that when this episode comes out, I'll be at the SharePoint Evolutions Conference, and it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So this will come out on Tuesday. Mm. Hey, if you see me, if you listen to the podcast, I'm going to be walking around the show with my mic and headphones in my hand. Headphones in my ear. I'd love to talk to anybody about what you're doing in the cloud or how it's impacting your business, good, bad, how it's impacting you as a developer, as an IT pro, as a business person. I'm going to come down during the lunch times and, you know, try and grab people to talk to them, and just come find me. I'd love to talk to you a little bit about it. And we're going to put like a little montage show coming out, and then holy moly, man.
Nothing like a montage.
No, it's always good. I didn't say menage a trois. I said montage.
Montage. Yeah. Nice.
It's about to get, it's already gotten crazy, but oh my God, the next 3 weeks are just going to be absolutely insane, from Evolutions to Build to Ignite, all three conferences back to back, from London to San Francisco to Chicago. Personally, it's going to be ridiculous for me. I know you're doing two of those, but it's just, oh my God, the amount of news that's going to start coming out.
Yeah, it's going to get chaotic. This is like, I think I said last show, this is like we're entering the death march towards the shows now. So it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I've got all my stuff done for all of them now, except for a workshop I'm doing at Ignite. I've got a piece to get together. I have the content. I just have to organize it. But oh my God.
I sort of feel like conferences, this wise professor of mine once said of this particular course that I was taking, he was like, it's great to have done, but terrible to be doing. I sort of feel like this period is kind of a little like that.
Could you relate, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll be awesome once it's over.
Actually, once it starts going, then it's like, okay, good.
Yeah. Then you're on rails. Everything starts happening.
Yeah. There's no changing. It's just going to happen.
Yeah. It just starts rolling.
If a session bombs, you've only got to, you know, just grin and smile and put on a good show for 60 minutes because you know it's all over then.
True.
Anyway.
Cool. Yeah.
How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much of the same, actually. Like I said, event management and our content at events and things like that. So Build, obviously coming up in San Francisco. I'm traveling down for that. We've got lots of good stuff coming out there, Microsoft related, Office related, 365 related. We're going to have a huge presence there. So if you are a listener and you're coming to Build, then both AC and I are going to be there. You should seek us out. We'll be hanging around the office booth. Well, booth area. It's kind of big, actually. We've got a bunch of stuff going on there. So come find us. It'd be great to meet up.
Yep.
Hear from some of our listeners.
And we'd love to talk to you for a few minutes about how the cloud is impacting you. We're going to do a couple little, you know, our take on what we see in the keynotes and the conferences and all the news and stuff from those shows. But yeah, come talk to us. We'll have the mic in hand, and we'd love to just grab just 5 minutes of your time and put you on the show and let's make it real.
We've got an espresso stand going full time. I think full time, close to full time, on our booth, so we can go get a coffee and chew the fat over what's going on in the world.
Game on! Sounds good to me, bud.
Yeah,
awesome.
And then on to Ignite, obviously. Goodness me. Anyway, so on to the news.
Are you going straight to Ignite, or are you actually going home for a bit?
I'm going home on Friday night and then flying out to Ignite on Sunday.
I wish that was an option for me.
Yeah, I got to spend Saturday back at home.
Gotcha.
So, should we get stuck into some news here?
I guess so.
We got some things to cover off. Should we start with the SharePoint Futures stuff?
Yeah, SharePoint Futures. How was that for a teaser for everyone?
just kidding, everyone.
SharePoint Futures will be in our SharePoint Futures news is what? It will be announced at Ignite.
Ah! Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, to be fair, there was a new blog post this week up on blogs.office.com, and it's entitled SharePoint Server 2016 Update. And it's by Seth Patton, who's a colleague of mine over here in Office Land, and all about the future of SharePoint. And so there's obviously loads of speculation flying around in the community and at large about, you know, what the future of SharePoint is and whether there's going to be another version and all that. And regardless of what Microsoft keeps saying at SharePoint conference last year and then in the evolution of SharePoint blog post not long ago, there's still speculation. So hopefully, what was your take on this? And do you think it'll set the record straight for the time being?
On the post from this past week?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll link to it in the show notes. But just says SharePoint Server 2016 update. I guess my take is it's kind of like the last post in the sense that it's more confirmation that it's like people don't believe that there's going to be another on-prem version.
Yeah.
The first time it was stated, people didn't really buy it. And then the blog post on the same, there was a blog post on the same blog a few months ago. And then here it is again. So I guess the only thing that I really learned in here, two things, is that one was that they set a date that the beta will be at the end of 2015, Q4 calendar year 2015.
Yep.
And the generally available though in Q2 2016. So next year, when you guys talk about quarters, it always messes me up because your fiscals are split calendars.
Yeah.
So when you say Q4 2015, it's like, so it's coming out this quarter.
No. That's calendar.
Yeah. So there's that. And then it's just the overwhelming sense that it looks like it's going to be an update that is a lot of stuff is going to change from what you guys have learned about running SharePoint yourself. Mm. So maybe like infrastructure type stuff that relates to IT pros, maybe database stuff, maybe networking stuff, maybe performance stuff, maybe database, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then the other side is how much of a hybrid / cloud reliance that this will enable. Not that you have to have 365, they're not saying that,
yep,
but how you'll be able to take advantage of things like Delve and Office Graph from on-prem if you have a hybrid environment.
Yeah, no, totally.
So that's my take.
Yeah, no, I definitely see how that would have stood out. I'm surprised, you know, there's one thing in here that stands out to me that I haven't heard from anybody else, which is there's a line in here, I'll read it verbatim. We also want to confirm our commitment to delivering on-premises releases of SharePoint for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does that reek of like, this isn't the last one?
Sure sounds like it.
Yeah. It did to me. I don't know anything certain here, so I don't have skin in this game. But, you know, I'm not part of this team that is responsible for SharePoint.
Yeah.
So that I thought that was kind of an interesting saying there, and I think that's something I would have thought a lot more people would have picked up on.
Yeah. I guess, the post has only been out for, about 24 hours now that we're recording this, something like that?
Yeah, I guess so. It came out yesterday, I think.
April the 16th, yeah. So we're recording on the 17th, and so it was on the 16th, yeah.
Yeah, but I think your comments there about, you know, the infrastructure improvements and cloud sort of connected or hybrid scenarios. I think that's totally valid. And I think we're figuring out that there are, well, not figuring out, have figured out that there are lots and lots and lots of customers that are going to be a foot in both camps for the foreseeable future, and trying to make the two worlds work together is probably a decent idea. So
yeah,
I think it was kind of inevitable, but I think it's good to see it all sort of reinforced, and hopefully it'll help with the FUD and speculation that totally giving up on on-prem.
Yeah. It's funny because there's so much, like, I don't know, BS that keeps coming out about people just, like you're saying, a lot of FUD, that just people just, they're making it up that there's not going to be another on-prem. And you guys have been as clear as you can possibly be that you're not stopping, you're not done. It wasn't clear initially. It wasn't clear. I mean, to me, I was like, well, SharePoint on-prem is dead. We won't ever see it again. I mean, I think you even said that too in one of our episodes when we were doing like a prediction thing. Or no, you said you would see another on-prem.
One last release is, I think, what I said.
Yeah. But I mean, it's obvious it's not.
But I'm not, you know, now we're splitting hairs, right? Because like, there could be one last big release and then a whole bunch of small ones, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be big one, then big one, then big one, right? It doesn't have to be, there's not one way to do this.
No. I wonder how the pricing works.
You know, there are no big releases in Office 365 anymore. It's usually small release, small release, small release, small release, small release type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer that. I prefer the small releases compared to like one big sweeping release. It's easier to roll it out. I think that IT pros, I would guess the IT pros would also prefer it.
Yeah, there's pros and cons of both, right?
Yeah.
Smaller changes are hard to plan for. You know, if you're sort of doing your software rollout the old school way, right? Doing once every 3 years, it makes it a little more tricky.
Yeah.
Because it's more constant change. But the benefits are smaller changes more frequently, and you're not freaking everybody out with a massive change. But anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, we've talked about this in the past, but I'm with you. I prefer the small changes because updates get rolled out faster. You get to see them where you don't have to wait for 3 years for it. But they're also not nearly as painful in the sense that the upgrade process of like adding a ribbon or adding, you know, changing the UI, those things don't really happen. You just got lots of subtle changes. But like you said, flip side is that, you know, you see things kind of like what we're seeing right now, which we're like in the Azure AD space and with apps and everything. You can see stuff evolving so much with that. And you can read the tea leaves. And I'm sure that they're going to be a little more explicit in a couple of weeks of build. But you can read the tea leaves of where you guys are going and seeing the changes that are happening now. And just some people are taking it as every time a release comes out, they think that it's done. And it's a little bit of not having the vision of where everything is really going for specific things.
You're saying people only have part of the story.
Not only do they only have part of the story, but they're taking it as the story.
Yeah, gotcha.
They don't know that they're on chapter two of a 10-chapter book. They think that it's a 2-chapter book.
You know, basic intelligence tells me that we would be crazy to abandon a huge customer base who are on-prem purely if you only look at the financial implications of doing that, of how big SharePoint is as a business, right? I don't know. Even if you just take that just by itself, you know, you'd have to be pretty crazy to walk away from that.
It's a $2 billion business. I think you got a couple of shareholders and a CEO that might be a little pissed about that.
Yeah. No joke. No joke. Not to mention the customers, right?
I'm sorry.
Them here.
Forgot about the customers again.
Always remember the customers, they say. Anyway, okay, so that's SharePoint 2016 update on the blogs.
Yep.
Go check that out. We'll link to it off in the show notes. But if you're keen to go have a poke around, it's up on blogs.office.com if you haven't already seen it on the Twitter or the Facebook.
The Twitters, they're plurals.
The Tweeters.
The Tweeters.
Yes. What else you got?
I got two Amazon things.
Ooh, nice.
So Amazon has a new thing. It's coming out soon. It's not available yet. And actually, the preview is coming out soon. And it's called the Elastic File System, or EFS. It's basically a file storage service for the EC2 instances. So their virtual machines or IaaS stuff. Just straight from their site, basically says that it's easy to use, provides a simple interface that allows you to create and configure file systems quick and easy. Storage capacity is elastic, growing and shrinking automatically as you add and remove files, so your apps have storage they need when they need it. Sounds very much like the file capability that we have in Microsoft Azure for IaaS, where you can have essentially like a drive mapped from your virtual machine instance over to a blob storage. So this sounds like just adding feature parity between the two platforms, which is smart and makes sense. So
yeah, I guess nice improvements being made there and just slowly more services being added and added and added, right?
Yeah, I find it funny. I'm still of the mindset that IaaS is still very much like a holding you over until applications are all going to pass.
I totally agree. Like, I don't think the future is sticking your virtualized boxes in the cloud.
Yeah.
I'm sure it satisfies some CEOs where they go, hey, Mr. Head of IT, have you, like, I've read in this CIO magazine or CEO magazine that we need to, like, put stuff in the cloud. And are you doing that? And then this seems like a IaaS, you know, obviously there are benefits of doing IaaS, right? Over and above hosting it yourself. But it definitely feels like as that middle ground, like, oh, yep, checkbox, we're doing the cloud. But not really taking advantage of all of its benefits, if you know what I mean.
There's a thing that I went to last week. It's called OneSpark. It was very like crowdfunded kind of startup experience. It was really neat. It's like a festival, startup festival. And one day they did a speaker series. And in the speaker series, the guy from the founder of Priceline.com showed up. And so he showed up and he took his five-year-old daughter to work one day. And she was asking questions about what is this? What is this? What is this? And he didn't know. And he got irritated. She was asking all these questions. So he went and sat down at his desk and he realized, he's like, you know what? I don't even know about my own business. And one of the things she asked about were, what are those two boxes in the office when you come in into work? He didn't know. So he got up and he went and asked his administrative assistant and said, what are those boxes? She's like, I don't know. So he went and got his CFO and said, what are those boxes? And he's like, I don't know. I'll find out. And he came back and said, I have good news and I have bad news. He goes, what are they? He goes, they're collating machines that we use to collate all the paper that we actually get from all the different reports and everything. He said, but the good news is that we can get rid of them because we don't ever use them. He said, we don't use them anymore. We don't print out all the reports. We do it electronically. He goes, okay, that's great. What's the bad news? The bad news is that we're leasing those two machines that we haven't been using for the last 5 years.
So, bummer.
Yeah. Anyway. So, hey, another Amazon news that we saw here was Amazon machine learning. So I've only looked at this a little bit, but I'll be honest, this looks like it's this basically a compete for what Azure machine learning is.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I don't know a ton about the Azure offering, but from little I know, looking at what Amazon says about their machine learning, it just seems to be like the same thing, but Azure's offering. So I'm not trying to trivialize it, but it just seems to be like, this is not something that, I need machine learning. Oh, you have to go Azure. Well, no, you have a choice.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, it does sort of seem compete-ish, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, they talk about here being, you know, you create your models and then you get to, I don't know if I'm using the right terminology here, but, you know, have that take care of reasoning over tons and tons of data and being able to make predictions and mm-hmm. and things like that using, you know, being able to call it using APIs and for predictive, getting predictions based on a whole bunch of data.
You put a bunch of signals in,
yep.
And you don't have the hardware to process all the signals, and so it spits this stuff out. So, I mean, great example they have here on the site, document classification. So, you know, tearing through a document, figuring out what kind of a document is this, or fraud protection, or personalization, or propensity modeling for marketing campaigns. I like the customer churn prediction they said.
Yeah, I was just going to say the customer churn one's interesting, isn't it? Because that's, you know, massive in SaaS businesses. Like, churn is is incredibly important.
I've listened to some talks with that. It's amazing how a guy was saying how when people would stop renewing, and they would get to be like 60 days past, then they would be like, oh, shoot, you know, we offer them a discount. And they get to like 75 days past, and they offer them a bigger discount to renew. And they get to 90 days, and offer them the most discount because they knew that as they reached those certain thresholds, that they were less likely to renew. So instead of losing all their revenue, give them a huge discount to at least keep them on board.
Yeah, gotcha.
So anyway.
Yeah, getting smart about that stuff's pretty sweet.
No. That's my Azure news, or my Amazon news.
Amazon news. Okay, Amazon. So moving on to some Microsoft news. One I got here is Microsoft unveils new container technologies for next generation cloud. So boiling this down basically consists of two things. The first of which is a new, what they're calling nano server, which is, as far as I can tell, and I don't know what your take is on this, but as far as I can tell, this is Windows Server without a whole lot of stuff included.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, no UI, you only remotely administer it. It's just got the minimal amount of stuff on there to run your apps, like a web application, for example.
It looks like a, like the core, not like the ones with the server installs with the GUI, but it looks like server install core.
Yeah, or maybe even less, right?
Yeah, it does look less. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it's possibly even less. I don't know all the details of exactly what they've gotten rid of, but basically they say here, NanoServer provides just the components you need, nothing else, meaning smaller images, reduced deployment time, reduced bandwidth consumption, and improves uptime and security. So that sounds pretty cool. That's and I guess that's all in aid of being able to run your apps with lower footprint required to get them to run, right?
It's done also using containers, right? Like using Docker containers, right?
So I think that's the next bit, which is, you know, I said it was came in two parts, right?
I'm sorry.
The NanoServer stuff that powers it. And then I think there's the way you deploy your apps, right? And so the big trend at the moment is around Docker and containerization of your applications. And then the blog post talks about these things that they're calling Hyper-V containers. So it's a way of packaging your apps, I guess, and deploying them to a cloud service. And they also talk about how this interacts with the Docker ecosystem so that you're not having to pick and choose and I guess, ultimately have rewrites if you want to switch between packaging systems or containerization technology.
Yeah, and it's easy to spin up. I know like the Docker's is very appealing for a lot of companies that are, they build applications that you don't necessarily have a ton of stuff within the container, but it does a lot of work and they work better in a, they work better in like a swarm kind of a thing. So I don't need like one massive application. I need a small application, but I need about 50 of them all doing the same thing, doing lots of little work. And so that's one of the appeals of Docker. And I think that this is giving us the ability to actually, before we were only doing that on Linux, but now we're able to do it on Windows inside Docker. So
yeah, gotcha. Yeah, so between these two things, we're talking about Hyper-V containers and NanoServer. So that's all wrapped up in this post called Microsoft unveils new container technologies for next generation cloud. So it's kind of cool to see, this packaging or containerization stuff. Not only coming to Azure, but also playing with the wider ecosystem with Docker and stuff like that. So
yeah, and I'm sure we'll see some stuff too about it when at Build in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt. You want me to go on another one, or are you?
No, I'm good. I think we've got a bunch of Azure related news, other related news, like a bunch of GA things that have gone GA, like Stream Analytics.
Yep.
That guy went GA. That's the real-time stream processing engine that helps uncover things like insights from data coming in from sensors and devices and stuff. Very Internet of Things.
Premium storage.
Yeah, premium storage went GA. You know, I have you remember that article that we talked about my buddy did, Ben Stegging, that did analysis on it?
Yeah.
I'm curious to find out what the use case is for premium storage, because the numbers that he was looking at and how much it's going to cost are just astronomical.
All right.
So I'd be really curious to see what kind of specific instances there are. So
what people pick it up to use it for.
Yeah. So
So that gives you 32 terabytes of persistent storage per virtual machine with more than 50,000 IOPS per VM.
Mm-hmm. All SSD.
Extremely low latencies. That's pretty sweet.
It's blazing fast. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's blazing fast and it's super, super productive, but it's not cheap.
Yeah. It's also worth noting it's not in every region by the looks of it. It seems to be US West, East to West Europe, Southeast Asia, and Japan West regions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it looks like on April the 8th, DocumentDB went GA, which that kind of surprised me because I thought they were still doing some work on that, on like doing some improvements and stuff to it. I didn't realize it was already ready to come out of preview, but that's pretty cool. That's a NoSQL database DB option where essentially you just build build objects using JSON, JavaScript object notation, and save them straight to the database. So couple different NoSQL options that Azure offers for PaaS-based things, one being table storage, one being DocumentDB.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I haven't dug into this at all and played with it yet, but...
It's pretty cool. Actually, I was trying to get it working, and I still might, prior to Build, for a demo I'm doing. I've got a Node.js website. Mm-hmm. I was running on OS X, but it runs the exact same way on OS X, on Windows, on Azure websites. And the big thing I'm supposed to talk about there is in the expo, I'm going to get it running. I have it running. I'm going to show it running on a Raspberry Pi.
Ooh.
The only thing I had to do was just go into each one and change the IP address of each one where the web server was listening. And I mean, it and also tell it the redirect of where it comes back. But the website actually, it lets you log in with Azure AD, uses the Office 365 APIs, but one code base running in all those different places. Truly write once, run everywhere.
That's pretty sweet. I look forward to seeing those demos.
Me too. I was going to show.
Laugh, by the way.
All right. It's a little bit. Well, it works, and I'm flipping out a bit. I'm at that point where it's good enough for me to show it off in demos, but now I'm that point of, hey, let me add this. So I'm trying to add, like, I'm using session state to store everything, to store the keys and everything, but I want to use DocumentDB for the Azure one to store all that stuff. But then it's not running locally, then it's partially running Azure. So it kind of breaks my running on a Raspberry Pi. So
nice. Hey, have you got any picks this week?
I do. I have two.
Go for it.
I think I have not done these before. We've talked about it. These have been in our list for a while. So hopefully I'm not repeating myself, but
I'm as I get older, I repeat myself often. So you'll get away with it. It's okay.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say it again. I don't remember if I've done this before. So I'm just going to repeat myself and say that I'm going to do it again. Hey, did you see that Star Wars trailer? The
Chewie.
When I was a kid, I played a game. I love this game. It was a World War III style game. It was also a simulation for World War I, World War II. It was called Command HQ, and it fit on the save icon. It fit on a 3.5-inch floppy.
What are those?
I know. They used to make the physical version of the save icon. It was really cool. Poor kids don't have a clue what that is.
No.
But it was an awesome game. It was just one screen. It was absolutely fantastic. But as the computers got faster and faster, I kept trying to play that game, and it wouldn't work because the war would be over in about 15 seconds because the clocking of the CPUs just blew it away. But somebody rebuilt it, and it's on Steam for $7.
Oh, yeah. Boost mode.
I haven't even played it yet, but I bought it 2 weeks ago just in principle.
How do they do that? That's crazy.
And then, but there's a new game. This is awesome. So you know how Electronic Arts killed SimCity a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
So it was very sad. Actually, it was kind of...
Actually, you know...
It's not sad.
Having said this, I think you have said this before.
Have I? Okay.
But go ahead. Go ahead, old man.
I know we've talked... So Skylines is an indie studio built this independent studio built this game, and it's basically the new version of SimCity, and it is awesome, absolutely awesome. And I hope to God it works offline. I haven't tried it yet because I'm getting ready to get on a plane and fly over to Europe.
Yeah, you gotta build some cities on a plane, man, for sure. I'm gonna try this out.
It's good stuff.
It's pretty good. It's $30 by the looks of it.
It's not bad. I like it. The graphics are pretty good too. They're really good.
That's sweet. I'm so, like, it boggles my brain how you'd even begin to build one of these things like this, but there are some smart people in the world.
Oh, man. We have talked about this because we talked about trying to get somebody on the podcast about this, haven't we?
Oh, dear. Never mind.
All right. Well, you got any picks, buddy?
Sorry, what were we talking about again? No, I'm only kidding. Yeah, I do have one. It's not that fun, but it's kind of interesting. So I found an article on Forbes.com, and it's entitled The Top 100 Cloud-Based Enterprise Software Startups of 2015. And it's kind of interesting because it breaks down 100 startups based on things like stage of funding, total funding, when they last got funding, their location, things like that, as well as what they call the Mattermark growth score.
What is that?
Don't really know. I don't know how they determine it, but it sort of says here, Mattermark uses a combination of artificial intelligence and data quality analysis to provide insights to over 100 million companies. Sounds like some sort of proprietary scoring algorithm. So don't really know what goes into that score, but there's a number that pops out of the end and you can rank them all by it.
Hey, it sounds awesome.
That's pretty badass, right?
Sounds like the machine that goes bing.
Bring in the Mattermark machine. Oh dear, we shouldn't mock them too much. It's probably quite clever, who knows. But you can download this whole list in an Excel doc. And I just thought it was really interesting because there's a whole bunch on here that you kind of expect, like... Well, first up, it depends what you call enterprise. So My definition of enterprise is obviously slightly different than theirs, because it's got things like Sugar CRM.
Oh, there you go.
How's that an enterprise app?
I don't know.
Not my definition of enterprise.
I saw another one in here, a company called Domo. I thought they were a consulting company.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what you call enterprise. I'm guessing what they call it, you know, sort of more like commercial is what I would call it. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of, I guess some could be used by large enterprises. And by large enterprises, I mean like with, you know, lots and lots of employees, like sort of 5,000 plus employees is kind of where I'd get into enterprise.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly lower. But anywho, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, who's on this list and all that sort of stuff. There's a few usual suspects in here. AvPointer on it for those in the SharePoint world. Not entirely sure how you call that them a startup. Pretty big. They've taken funding. Maybe that means they're a startup. I don't know.
You know, so the thing that irritates me about this is that the article is mostly about, it's mostly based off of funding, right? It's about startup. And then is it startup, enterprise, and then they went to funding. And I know the article's by Forbes, but the thing that gets all the attention are these companies that have funding.
Mm.
That's fine. But there are a tremendous number of businesses out there that don't do funding because they don't need it. And they rank, companies are ranked based on their funding. Like, I don't know, earlier this week, we saw the Yammer competitor, Slack, got a valuation of $2.8 billion. And then they're asking I saw an article where they're asking the guy behind it and said, I mean, Slack's only been out for a year, I think.
They said in the disclosure, and I don't want to bang on Slack, right, because it's a really cool tool, but they have like 750,000 active users or something. It's not that many.
No, and 200,000 of them are paying. And I love Slack. I'm not a big fan of Yammer. I've been secret about that, but I absolutely love using Slack. It's a good,
Slack's
really
a
good,
really nice tool for sure.
Yeah, but what I don't get is like, how do you measure up the worth of a company based on, or how do you measure up the usefulness in a company, or say they're the best startup based on the amount of money that they're pulling? Because
yeah,
$2.8 billion, I get a ton of productivity out of Slack literally on a daily basis. Uber, they're worth 40 some odd billion.
Yeah.
I get a ton of usefulness out of them when I travel, but normally I don't.
But you notice like their list is, on their website is sorted by total funding, right? So from highest to lowest.
Mm.
But that doesn't match this Metamark growth score, whatever that means, right? So if you look, like the top one is Cloudera with a score of 861 and a $1.2 billion in funding, right? But it's only got a score of 861, whereas the next one on the list, Dropbox, has got a score of 2,436 for the same amount of funding.
Hmm.
And then there's ones further down, like if you look at Atlassian, which is a really cool set of tools for mostly for developers, it's got a score of 2,446, and it's only taken only $200 million in funding, right? So I would rather get this list sorted by whatever this Metamark growth score is, know a little bit more detail about what that score entails. But I would hope that it would entail things like user growth and all that sort of stuff, and you know, standard like monthly active users, daily active users, all of that sort of stuff, because that's really how you should be measuring the growth of a startup.
I agree. I totally agree.
I'm not an expert in any of this, of course, but that's how I would look at it.
We just play it on the radio.
Yeah, totally. Turn up the volume. Cool, man. Okay, so that's my pick.
Absolutely. Hey, you want one more just for the hell of it?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
You like startup stuff?
No. Yes.
Go listen to it. Go find a podcast called Startup.
Startup. Okay.
It's by Gimlet Media. It is literally like a documentary of them from the very beginning doing their very first pitch that was incredibly awkward and painful, all the way through like burnout, name change, raising more funding, all that stuff. I stumbled on it about a week or two ago, and I've binge listened to the entire thing over the last week and a half, and it's freaking awesome.
I'm adding it to Overcast right now.
It's really good.
Nice. Oh, that's a good pick.
It's painful. You don't feel so bad when knowing that you haven't launched yours.
Startup Podcast. Is that what it's called? By Gimlet.
Yeah, blue with a hand.
Yeah, got it.
Yep.
Nice. All right.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, AC.
Yeah, man.
Catch you at Build.
I will see you at Build. I hope to see everybody at Evolutions.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Have a good weekend, buddy.
You too. Bye.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at MicrosoftCloudShow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.